Come to the place where the fun never ends. It's Chip and Eric and friends.
Woo-hoo! Whoa! Oh my goodness, Chip. That was a high note.
I've been practicing.
Wow. You have been practicing, Chip. So glad you're back. You took that time off to be with your wife. And that's wonderful, man. So thank you for being back. And I know the listeners have really missed you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
They really
have. And Allison is here, too. Hello.
Guys, Hannah's with me today. Chip's still on his hiatus.
Yeah.
Yeah. His
Skip town.
His Shabbat.
Oh.
His, what's the thing that pastors do?
Sabbatical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what pastors do.
I wouldn't know.
No.
Hey, anyway. No, Chip took some time off for family stuff. And now there's Hannah.
Yep.
That's cool. What's up?
That's the last resort. Oh, not much.
What's up?
It's just a great day.
It is a great day. We actually did have a great day.
We did?
Yeah. We spent a bunch of time with our kids.
That was great.
Drove around on the golf cart.
We did do that. That was also great.
Went
to the park.
Got the oil changed in our Jeep.
That was great.
Yeah.
The cost wasn't great.
No.
And learning you have to get new tires wasn't great.
Nope, not great. Had lasagna for dinner.
It was fine.
It was great.
You said it was fine.
Compared to all your other lasagnas, Hannah Home makes lasagna from scratch. All of it. She made the ricotta cheese. Yeah, that's right. I paused so they could all gasp. Yeah. This is what happened at home.
I heard a couple.
This is what happened at home. You know, they're just sitting there, Joe Schmo.
Yeah.
Listen,
casually going, listening.
Yeah, just going, oh, she makes her own ricotta cheese. Oh! You know,
there was a fly that went down one person's throat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Kids ran in. What's wrong?
Speaking of what's wrong.
Day 75.
Yep.
Deuteronomy 28 and Galatians 2.
You're exactly right. Let's do it. Hey, guys, Deuteronomy 28's long. But we can do it.
Yep. Suck it up.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah's got no sympathy. Blessings for obedience. If you fully obey. Oh, and I'm not quite over my deal. So if I start coughing.
Deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Influenza.
You don't know that.
I don't, but I truly believe it. Blessings for obedience. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards, they'll be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the works you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never at the bottom. You must not turn away from any of the commands I'm giving you today, nor follow after other gods and worship them.
Curses for disobedience. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. Your towns and your fields will be cursed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be cursed. Your children and your crops will be cursed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be cursed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be cursed. The Lord himself will send you curses, confusion, and frustration in everything you do until at last you are completely destroyed for doing evil and abandoning me. The Lord will afflict you with diseases until none of you are left in the land you are about to enter and occupy. The Lord will strike you with wasting diseases, fever, and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, and with light and mildew, blight and mildew. These disasters will pursue you until you die. The skies above will be as unyielding as bronze, and the earth beneath will be as hard as iron. The Lord will change the rain that falls on your land into powder, and dust will pour down from the sky until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated by your enemies. You will attack your enemies from one direction, but you will scatter from them in seven. You will be an object of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your corpses will be food for all the scavenging birds and wild animals, and no one will be there to chase them away. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, scurvy, and the itch from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will strike you with madness, blindness, and panic. You will grope around in broad daylight like a blind person groping in the darkness, but you will not find your way. You will be oppressed and robbed continually, and no one will come to save you. You will be engaged to a woman, but another man will sleep with her. You will build a house, but someone else will live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will never enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be butchered before your eyes, but you will not eat a single bite of the meat. Your donkey will be taken from you, never to be returned.
Oh.
I know. Your sheep and goats will be given to your enemies, and no one will be there to help you. You will watch as your sons and daughters are taken away as slaves. Your heart will break for them, but you won't be able to help them. A foreign nation you have never heard about will eat the crops you worked so hard to grow. You will suffer under constant oppression and harsh treatment. You will go mad because of all the tragedy you see around you. The Lord will cover your knees and legs with incurable boils. In fact, you will be covered from head to foot. The Lord will exile you and your king to a nation unknown to you and your ancestors. There in exile, you will worship gods of wood and stone. You will become an object of horror, ridicule, and mockery among all the nations to which the Lord sends you. You will plant much, but harvest little, for locusts will eat your crops. You will plant vineyards and care for them, but you will not drink the wine or eat the grapes, for worms will destroy the vines. You will grow olive trees throughout your land, but you will never use the olive oil, for the fruit will drop before it ripens. You will have sons and daughters, but you will lose them, for they will be led away into captivity. Swarms of insects will destroy your trees and crops. The foreigners living among you will become stronger and stronger, while you become weaker and weaker. They will lend money to you, but you will not lend to them. They will be the head, and you will be the tail. If you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and to obey the commands and decrees he has given you, all these curses will pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed. These horrors will serve as a sign and warning among you and your descendants forever. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits you have received, you will serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. You will be left hungry, thirsty, naked, and lacking in everything. The Lord will put an iron yoke on your neck, oppressing you harshly until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a distant nation against you from the end of the earth, and it will swoop down on you like a vulture. It is a nation whose language you do not understand, a fierce and heartless nation that shows no respect for the old and no pity for the young. Its armies will devour your livestock and crops, and you will be destroyed. They will leave you no grain, new wine, olive oil, calves, or lambs, and you will starve to death. They will attack your cities until all the fortified walls in your land, the walls you trusted to protect you, are knocked down. They will attack all the towns in the land the Lord your God has given you.
The siege and terrible distress of the enemy's attack will be so severe that you will eat the flesh of your own sons and daughters, from whom the Lord your God has given you. The most tender-hearted man among you will have no compassion for his own brother, his beloved wife, or his surviving children. He will refuse to share with them the flesh he is devouring, the flesh of one of his own children, because he has nothing else to eat during the siege and terrible distress. During the siege and terrible distress that your enemy will inflict on all your towns, the most tender and delicate woman among you, so delicate she would not so much as touch the ground with her foot, will be selfish toward the husband she loves and toward her own son or daughter. She will hide from them the afterbirth and the new baby she has born, so that she herself can secretly eat them. She will have nothing else to eat during the siege and the terrible distress that your enemy will inflict on all your towns. If you refuse to obey all the words of instruction that are written in this book, and if you do not fear the glorious and awesome name of the Lord your God, then the Lord will overwhelm you and your children with indescribable plagues. These plagues will be intense and without relief, making you miserable and unbearably sick. He will affect you with all the diseases of Egypt that you feared so much, and you will have no relief. The Lord will afflict you with every disease and plague there is, even those not mentioned in this book of instruction, until you are destroyed. Though you become as numerous as the stars in the sky, few of you will be left because you would not listen to the Lord your God. Just as the Lord has found great pleasure in causing you to prosper and multiply, the Lord will find pleasure in destroying you. You will be torn from the land you are about to enter and occupy, for the Lord will scatter you among all the nations from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship foreign gods that neither you nor your ancestors have known, gods made of wood and stone. There among those nations you will find no peace or place to rest. and the Lord will cause your heart to tremble, your eyesight to fail, and your soul to despair. Your life will constantly hang in the balance. You will live night and day in fear, unsure if you will survive. In the morning you will say, if only it were night. And in the evening you will say, if only it were morning. For you will be terrified by the awful horrors you see around you. Then the Lord will send you back to Egypt in ships to a destination I promised you would never see again. There you will offer to sell yourselves to your enemies as slaves, but no one will buy you.
Wow.
Thanks.
Okay, off to Galatians chapter 2 for hopefully some better news.
Yeah. It looks like the apostles accept Paul.
That's good.
Then 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem again, this time with Barnabas, and Titus came along too. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. While I was there, I met privately with those considered to be leaders of the church and shared with them the message I had been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement for fears that all my efforts had been wasted and I was running in this race for nothing. And they supported me and did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised, though he was a Gentile. Even that question came up only because of some so-called believers there, false ones really, who were secretly brought in. They sneaked in to spy on us and take away the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations, but we refused to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. And the leaders of the church had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites. Instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I have always been eager to do.
Paul confronts Peter. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism because those people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, "Since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. We have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ and then we're found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of law I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements, so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. And that is our reading today. And it goes together pretty darn well.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yep.
See the contrast.
Yes. The book of Galatians is all about freedom from the law. And man, the history between these two events, right? So obviously Moses is prophesying about the exile,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a foreign nation you've never heard of is going to come and take you away, and you're going to worship idols of wood and stone and, you know, all this stuff, right? Talking about Babylon coming in and conquering. In response, so 70 years later, the Jews get sent back to Jerusalem to rebuild. In response to the Babylonian captivity, a group of Jewish people, was raised up, and they called themselves the Holy Ones. And their purpose was to create a box around the law so that no one would even get close to breaking it, so that they'd never go back into exile.
Mm-hmm.
The box that they created around the law.
So it started as a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. It was this thing to protect them from going back into exile. Soon, so they added laws to the law. Like, you can't do anything on the Sabbath. Now you have a certain number of steps you can take on the Sabbath. Like, that's not prescribed anywhere in the books of Moses, right? So the Holy Ones, They make this box around the law, fence around the law to keep people from getting close to the law. Over time, that fence would become their identity, right? They called themselves the Holy Ones, and now they became more like the holier than thou ones, right? Holy Ones translates to the word Pharisee. And so the Pharisees started out trying to protect people from the curses of Deuteronomy 28. But instead, what they did was, after Jesus died and was resurrected, ascended to heaven, gave freedom from the law, they went around and tried to enforce the law on people through the Judaizers. That's this group of people that Galatians is written to. So the historical connection between Deuteronomy 28 and Galatians 2 is pretty remarkable. It's pretty awesome, you know? And I just love this, the idea, like, in Deuteronomy 28, it's follow the law or God will damn you. And in Galatians 2, it's, I couldn't follow the law. That's why Jesus died for me. He saved me. God saved me from the requirements of the law. And so it's totally vastly different.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm nerding out and I love it. It's
fine. I love it too.
But
I like nerds.
The question, no, Hannah, you like nerd.
True. True.
Just the one.
Just one.
How does this help you love God more, or how does this help you love others more? So Hannah.
I'll do how it helps me love God more.
Okay.
Only because just this obedience feature. And I just finished reading a book called The Abiding Cycle. And so I just really, I like thinking about obedience in the context of the abiding cycle. So the abiding cycle, it starts with a little bit of faith to do something that God's called you to do, whatever that is. And then, so you start with the faith and then you obey whatever that calling is. And then through your obedience to whatever it is God's called you to do, God moves. He's called you to something, so he moves. And when you see God's movement, it's incredible. And so you then respond by knowing him more, and he reveals himself more to you so that you build more faith, and then the cycle continues so that the next time you're called to do something crazy, your faith is now, you know, and so it's just, I like, I like that analogy. And so, yeah, it just helps me love God more because I, you know, I grew up in a fire and brimstone era. And so it was very like, fear God, obey God, because you have to, or you'll go to hell. Yeah. And so thinking about it in terms of like, you know, I know it's dumbing it down like crazy, but like when you're married to someone, like having,
I am married to someone.
Yeah. When you are, when I am, when I am, you know, there's certain rules and regulations, and like to the outside, you know, someone outside of the marriage or outside of marriage in general, they may be like, oh, those are really restrictive. Don't sleep with other people. Don't, you know what I mean? Like those kinds of things. Don't look at other people or whatnot. Don't go around kissing everybody. But like when you're in the marriage, like I love you so much that it's easy. Like it's not, I don't even think about it. It's just
that's good.
Obedience out of love. Yeah. It is good.
I do know what you're saying though. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like thinking, and like I've heard that analogy before, but like, you know, so that helped. But now thinking about it, like by having faith and obeying from my faith, knowing that God's going to move and like fulfill his promises. And then that's going to grow my faith. Cause that's another thing that I learned in this, one of my most recent classes is like, we can aspire to grow our faith, but our faith is based in what God chooses to reveal to us. And so we can't actually grow our own faith. It's God through the Holy Spirit who's going to grow our faith. But we have to, you know, tap into that resource.
Yeah, we can't do it.
We can't,
but we can do stop it.
Yeah, sure. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the beauty of the cycle that you described, I've never heard that before, but the beauty of what you just described is that every good part of that comes from God. Like even the design of that cycle is his plan.
Yeah.
We didn't invent that. We discovered it, but it's his plan.
And it's like, it's called the abiding cycle too. So it's like a neat way. Cause you know, the word abide is like one of those weird only used in one book of the Bible kind of words. And so it's Christianese, honestly. And so to be able to have like this like image of what abiding can look like.
Yeah.
It really helps. So anyway, all of that to say, going back to like all of these rules and regulations, like, no, we can't fulfill them, but like we can still obey Christ's law as opposed to the Old Testament. Anyway, that's all. Oofta.
Okay. I love that, Hannah. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
How can we love others better from this? Well, I mean, there's a lot to be said in this kind of passage with Paul and Peter. You know, poor Peter, you know, falling into old ways of caring very much what people around him think.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was interesting.
You know, he obviously very much respected James. Remember, James is not James, son of Zebedee here. It's James, the brother of Jesus. So Peter obviously had a deep respect for him. So he didn't want to look bad in front of James's friends. And Paul calls him out, right? Paul calls him out. He says, hey, here's the deal. Like, why are you doing this? And the thing about Paul is we know from his other writings that, yeah, he calls things out. But love is really important to Paul,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this first part of chapter 2 here where he talks about the apostles accepting him, that was also very important to him. And so it probably, and we know from, I think it's 2 Corinthians, Paul kind of talks about the fact that he's not very good at speaking off the cuff or in person, like he's not a dynamic, charismatic speaker. So it probably took quite a bit of courage for him to stand up to Peter. Now, Paul has courage by the bucket loads, but like it probably took a lot for him to stand up to Peter, who's, he just called him one of the pillars of the church, you know, and to say, hey, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you doing? And it was loving. It was loving because if Peter gets to treat Jewish and Gentile believers differently, what a problem that creates, you know? And so I think that it is extremely loving of Paul to do that for Peter's sake and for the sake of all the believers there, both Jewish and Gentile, to say that, to make mention of that, and to call out the injustice he sees, you know? So he does that, and he's very quick to forgive. He just moves on from it, you know? And then he starts talking about this very beautiful passage that a lot of people have memorized. You know, I've been crucified with Christ. You know, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And that comes from that pattern of him being able to talk to Peter about that piece of, hey, listen, the law is, we can't uphold the law. Like, why are you trying to live like the Jewish people when you've gotten rid of the law, you know? So, I don't know. And I talked already about the contrast between the two chapters and just how neat that is. And, you know, I did that on purpose. I put Galatians with Deuteronomy on purpose, Romans and Galatians, and I could not ever have imagined how well it would work out. So pretty neat, and really happy with that. No, not me. I didn't write the book. So, but hey, anyway, we're proud of you guys. Hannah's very proud of you guys.
I'm so proud.
Yeah. She said something about, I don't know, what did you say?
Something about making cookies or something.
So funny that that's the thing I was going to say.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's fun.
So funny. Anyway, she said she was going to make cookies for one of you at random. So,
oh, leave your name in the comments.
No, because you're going to get people that, like, you couldn't mail, you wouldn't mail cookies. You could.
I mean, I could.
You could, but you wouldn't.
I could.
No, Hannah won't mail you cookies. I promise. Here's the deal. Hannah wants you to have cookies as soon as they come out of the oven.
No, I don't.
No, the day after. I know. I got it. But that's not going to happen with the mail.
There's express shipping. They'll pay express shipping. It'll get there.
Oh, you're making them pay. Okay, so here's the deal, everyone. Hannah's happy to bake for you as long as you pay her. Wow. What a prize. What a cool prize.
That's a good business model.
You should invent some sort of business where you bake things and then people pay you for them.
I know. I wish something like that existed.
Yeah. Like a bakateria. A bakateria.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Neat. We're smart.
You are.
No, we are.
You're something. That's what you are.
Hannah survived my plague.
I did, so far.
No, I mean you survived me having the plague. Deuteronomy plague. It was a Deuteronomy plague. I had the itch.
The itch.
I wanted to tell you all it was the flu, but really, I just had the itch.
I wonder what the word for word is on that.
I don't know. I'll tell you what I got. The itch. I got me the itch. I'm going to preach Deuteronomy 28 one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get up in front of everybody, and this is going to be my opener. I'm going to be like, welcome to Harvest Church. I got the itch.
Is that like when you used to chase me around the grocery store?
Hey, Lady.
He used to, when we first met, he used to chase me around the grocery store screaming.
Allegedly.
Hannah!
Allegedly.
How's your rash?
Yep, allegedly.
How is your rash?
Allegedly. And you know what she did? She turned around to me. She looked me dead in the eyes. She said, I got the itch.
That's false.